You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Life on the Other Side of Should, a podcast of the She Hive Women's Collective in Ferndale, Michigan. I'm your host, Ursula Adams.
And I'm your other host, Sonia Mastin.
And I'm your other side host, Jackie Smith.
And each week we gather to debunk the pretty bullshit women have been taught to believe about themselves.
And explore how women can thrive when they live life according to their own truth, or maybe rules.
So happy Podcast Wednesday, lovelies. How are you doing?
Great now.
Great now. How you doing, Sonia?
Same. I skidded in sideways, barely hanging on.
I got here in less than 7 minutes. I'm just going to let you know.
So all of my co-hosts forgot that we were podcasting.
I did not forget. I fell asleep.
Yeah, I forgot. No, I stone cold forgot.
So we actually have a guest with us tonight. So we have another Jackie with us. So hey, Jackie.
Hello.
So this is Jackie Zimmerman.
The side Jackie.
The side Jackie to the side Jackie.
The side Jackie to the side host Jackie.
I love
what,
that.
What is it you call yourself? The side bitch.
Well, no. I'm never the side bitch. ever.
You said side something.
No, I'm the side bitch host is what I said earlier. So I decided in the opening not to say the word bitch. The other side host. Did you hear the pause between those
yes.
two?
Host.
So, hey, I got a story to start us off tonight. I just have been dying to share with all of you because you will commiserate with me. So I've been having some health issues recently, and it all relates to being a lady of a certain age. And to the point, yeah, no joke, right? To the point where it's actually scared me a little bit. And so I was speaking at a women's empowerment conference on Saturday. And I was speaking on the subject of gratitude, and I had mentioned that I had been having these health issues. I had been scared. I didn't say what the health issues were, that I had been scared. And then Friday night at the She Hive, I went to a shamanic healing ceremony. And it actually really, really calmed me down. And for the first time in a couple of weeks, I felt not fearful. I felt like I had it under control. Like, the health issue's still there. I have a doctor's appointment on Monday. Things are going to get taken care of. But I felt like I could stop being scared. You know, like my shit is handled. And so I have a lot of gratitude for that peace that came, you know, through the healing ceremony Friday night. And so after my talk, you know, people come up and they're talking to me. And one woman asks if she can pray for me. I'm like, sure.
Oh, that's, awesome. That's sweet.
Sweet. You know, and I said, oh, sure, you can pray for me. She goes, yeah. She goes, now. And I'm like, as long as you're doing all the work, because I don't pray, you know. And she did, and I just think that's a kind thing to say.
Amazing,
you know?
Yeah.
And then this woman comes up to me, who is my handler for the day, and so I'm stuck with her all day long, who happens to be a doctor, and she goes, you know what's going to be key for you? Exercise.
Jesus Christ.
Right?
I've never heard that before.
And I was
in my
like,
life.
What is this exercise you speak of?
Did you follow it up with, you know what's going to be good for you? Dentistry.
Yeah.
Because it's about to go down.
I literally thought, like, one, I hadn't shared with them what the health issue was. And it's menopause,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, exercise may or may not, right?
Right.
You know, so I did say to her, I said, because, so for those that don't know me, I'm overweight. And so people make a lot of assumptions. This is why I hate going to doctors.
Yeah.
They make assumptions. It's always because you're overweight. And I'm not saying that weight does not carry does not bring with it health
issues.
Does
not carry weight.
Yeah. Weight carries weight, right? And so I know that to be true, but I have a hard time going to a doctor because doctors just dismiss overweight people and women anyway.
So
it's
just
a double whammy.
Yeah.
Just had that this week because I did not get myself a new doctor. So I had to go back to the one I was going to get my high blood pressure medication refilled. And, it's the mildest dose you can be on, et cetera, et cetera. It was a constant battle. And I said, hey, there's a couple other weird things. I wanted to make sure they're not connected to being on this medication, any side effects. And he completely blew me off.
I'm sure before you finish sentences, he's like, wait. No, it's weight. It's the weight.
Have you heard of exercise?
Right.
Have you heard of the carrots and the yogurt?
Yeah, right. I looked at him and I'm like, so I do conditioning 3 times a week.
Hardcore,
and
by
I
way.
Can yeah. hardcore yeah. conditioning yeah. 3 times a week, and I can deadlift 250 pounds, and I can do a 2K in a row machine in under 15 minutes. But Usually they want you to shoot for 9. But you
I
know,
also
I can,
want to shoot for being alive. So.
Yeah. But, yeah. But the thing is, it was under 12. But the thing is I can do it. A lot of people cannot.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, and then he goes, well, anyway, it still would be easier on your knees.
Oh, my God. So I was very proud of my
I got you. Yeah. I feel you. Yeah. It's a commiseration.
So
completely.
I feel very proud because I said to her, I said, I assume you're talking about my weight. And just so you know, I'm very well aware of what I should do for my weight.
High five.
Yes. Ooh. And I said, but the practitioner that I've actually invited into this fight with me, unlike this woman, is my therapist. And that's the only person I'm talking to about this right now. And I'm like, and then I was just pissed because I didn't even explained that much to her. And then she asked me, have you ever had a sleep study? I'm like, I'm out. I'm just like, she's really not good. At a women's empowerment conference.
You're like, I'm falling asleep right now listening to you. Exactly. I sleep fine.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So.
It's very, very frustrating. And the fact that she's a female doctor who did that to you, I'm just want to. I'm going to punch her for you.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's one thing to be dismissed by a male doctor, which is tell me somebody. If you want to talk about horror stories.
Oh, yeah.
I was sick for a really long time. I got lots of them. I've had one female doctor in the last 12 years, so I know lots. However, a female doctor, like at least now, especially now, right, in the time where everybody's like, let's lift each other up. Mm-hmm. Even that tiny moment, she had an opportunity to not be a douchebag.
Yes.
And she didn't take it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I just had to share. I'm like, oh my. And then, you know, my first thing is I want to kill this bitch. And my second one is I can't wait to get on the podcast and talk about her. And I'm like, and the funny thing is this was on Saturday. On Friday, I had spent an hour with my therapist psyching myself up to make a doctor's appointment because I'm like, I hate fucking going to the doctor. I know I'm, you know, it's going to be the weight thing. It's going to, and there's enough shame that I carry on my own for gaining weight. I don't need a doctor to shame me too, right? And so, you know, I was so proud of myself. As soon as I left my therapist's office, I made an appointment. I'm like, yeah, look at me. Go, go, go. And then this bitch.
I know.
You know, so.
You're bringing something to mind for myself because ever since that appointment, I have been a funky monkey.
Me too.
I have been really just, I gave a speech at the Inkster Chamber of Commerce. And I think it went well. And I just left depressed. Like, I didn't nail it. I didn't do it. I didn't. These were my people. I suck. Why do I do this? And I'm like, I think they might be connected.
Yes, absolutely.
What I find interesting, too, is that the fat shaming that goes on with men who are also fat.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just discuss this a little bit? Because this really... So
is there fat shaming for fat men?
No. They fat shame everyone else, and they are fat themselves.
Yeah. Oh, no shit.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Like the fat guy that says, no fat chicks, that guy?
Yeah. So I'm it's the only like office gig I had my whole life, and I'm standing waiting to use the microwave, and I've got my sad, pathetic Lean Cuisine, not because I was trying to be health conscious, but I had like 5 minutes to shower, brush my teeth, get ready, and grab something frozen out of the freezer for lunch. And I'm waiting to use that, and this guy looks at it, and he was probably 400 pounds, 420. I'm not exaggerating. Right, it's like very, very large guy, really sweet guy, but very large guy, and says to me, you know, there's a lot of sodium in those. Wait for it. I look at what he's eating. I hand to God, strike me dead if I'm not telling you the truth. He made up hot dog casserole. It was 4 hot dogs wrapped in tortillas, covered in cheese and enchilada sauce. He was waiting to eat 4 hot dogs wrapped in tortillas and cheese and enchilada sauce. And I was like, so you think it's the sodium that's a problem here? He's like, yeah. He's like, it makes my ankle swell. I'm like, I'm sure it's the 380 grams of sodium in this Lean Cuisine that just throws you over the edge. You know?
Oh, my God.
But even this guy took the opportunity to sort of, like, make a nutrition comment about, like...
Yeah.
And I, by the way, wasn't even talking to him. We weren't talking. Not only were we not talking about food or lunch, we weren't talking, period.
Yeah.
It was silence, lunch of shame. I don't want to be eating this Hockey Pocket frozenness, and I hate this job. And this guy struck up this conversation with me. Yeah.
I'm having a lunch of shame. That was the broccoli I had last week. I had a bag of broccoli from the freezer, and then I regretted it about 2 hours later.
For dinner or lunch?
For lunch, yeah.
Wow.
Just a bag of broccoli?
It was, I was in a hurry.
Yeah.
I had 10 minutes to eat, and 5 of it was spent heating up the broccoli.
Holy shit.
That was one farty night you had.
Oh, my God. I was in so much pain about 2 hours later. I'm like, I gotta go home now.
So Jackie Z, welcome to the podcast where we talk about... people that hate like assholes and poop.
I feel like you're my people. So
you've come home.
I'm surprised it's taken me this long to get here. Yeah. If you want to talk about those things, I know so much about those things.
That's true. Absolutely true. So anybody got a should that they got to get off? Actually, Jackie, I kind of prepped you if you had a should you wanted to share. Did you have one?
So I kind of do, okay. But it's kind of a downer, so I don't know.
They're all downers. They're all downers.
And then we make fun of them when we talk about bitches and poop. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Well, then toning it down in the downer category. So 4 years ago today, my dad passed away. That's the downer. The should is the idea of how you should / are supposed to mourn people and how long it should take you to get over it or how you should carry on your life after this loss. Mm-hmm. Because I've been watching this essentially. Oh God, I hope she doesn't. My mom, I've been watching her do some things that I think she should not be doing. Mm-hmm. And I get this idea. I also watch a lot of really shitty murder and crime things.
Oh, boy.
So,
me too.
You know, how parents should grieve their lost children and all of the, like, the should around grief. Basically,
yeah.
What you should and shouldn't do in terms of how you handle your grief.
Yeah. Like there's a fucking like, I don't playbook out there. You have exactly, you know, I don't know, 8 minutes to finish your podcast and mourn somebody. Yeah. Yeah. That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
See, and I feel like it's not a should, but I feel like there's some sort of healthiness into the best you can leaning into grief in the moment. But if you can't, you can't. Like, it's not like you should do it. But because I know with grief for me, and I've made the joke before, I do it often because it really happened that my grandmother passed away, and I felt like I had to be stoic through that. And there was a lot of other things as family dynamics are attached to it. I'm just like, I just want to get through this craziness. And then it was like 3 weeks later, and there were no pickles at Whole Foods, and I lost my ever loving mind. I stood at Whole Foods with like the actual snot bubble.
Why aren't there fucking pickles? Yeah, and I'm literally falling apart. I'm like, all I wanted pickles. There should be pickles for people who want the pickles.
Yeah,
and you know, but that was a great lesson of realizing, because then I can't snap to it. And I'm like, I am sobbing like a lunatic in Whole Foods, and what? Like, it's not about pickles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is a little of the should, you know, of
like who made the rule,
right?
Yeah.
Well, and.
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
She doesn't even, oh my God, I got a good story, but you go.
No, just even the idea of the length of time you should grieve and discrepancies with personalities and family types, like you were saying. And like, I like to grieve for a period of time when I feel it. And then I live kind of a normal life, right? Like it's there, it dabbles, but I don't let it just destroy my life every day. Yeah. For 4 years, and I get real judgy about, and it's like in the should category of what you should be doing, and I don't know how to undo that, because it's not so much like you should move on with your life or you should grieve longer. It's somewhere in between that, like, you should have a balance.
Mm-hmm.
But you need the balance.
You need a balance. That's what, yes. It's not a should. You need a balance to live. I got to share this story. So Kubler-Ross. So, you know, so the change curve, we use it a lot of times.
The
stages of grief.
So, yeah, so explain it just a little bit for the listeners.
Yeah, okay. So the Kubler-Ross, I'm sorry, why am I losing my words? Menopause. so it is the stages of grief. So it's actually a curve, if you look at it, of what the emotions you will go through and the periods that you will go through after a loss. Mm-hmm. And so in organizational development, we actually use the Kubler-Ross curve to assign what's actually to expect of your employees after a big change. So like a big major layoff or a big organizational change. And so but the fact of the matter is the whole organization doesn't go through it at the same time. And even though it's a continuous curve, you actually go back and forth in it. You swing back and forth. Like you can be at stage one and then hop to stage whatever, but you go back or whatever. But there's like certain things you can look for at certain times and ways that you can mitigate the risk to the organization or to your people, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that time. And And I worked for this woman who was an absolute robot at one point in time. And she said, we need to explain to everybody what's going to happen to them. And I always think it's a good idea to say, you know, like, we expect at this time, like, everybody's going to be really excited and it's going to be highly innovative and then we're all going to crash, you know, expect that it could happen and expect that it's perfectly normal that you're going to go back and forth between those for a while, right? And she goes, no, we need to tell them how long. She goes, so between April 1st and April 10th, you're allowed to feel fear.
Stop it.
She literally did. I'm like, you are a fucking robot. Like, and between April 11th and April 12th, highly innovative. You know, I'm like, poor baby. This is why people that don't know about organizational development should not be allowed to lead it. Or people, I should say, don't know about people.
I do a lot of pre-grieving. Mm-hmm. My imagination gets away from me.
Dress rehearse the tragedy.
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of. My husband was away for the weekend with his friends. It's the first time he's ever done that, and we've been together for 24 or 5 years. I lost count. And I had a couple of moments of like, I don't want to be this kind of alone. Oh my God, this was me like when he dies. And I was
like, oh boy.
I was like, okay, number one, shut up. Number two, shut up. But it was like this kind of taste of that weirdness and that difference and how much my life is connected to his at that level. And I know when I grieved my mom after she died, I had a crazy amount of things happening in my life that year. I grieved a lot of things. It was a flood of 2014 as well. I lost my identity at the same time, like all my clothes and makeup and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I came out of it not understanding that I had been grieving the whole time and pretty much wearing pajamas every day. Until one day I wanted to be cute and spunky in a sundress in the spring. And I'm like, oh my God, I have no clothes except pajama type clothes. Yeah. And I was like, oh look, there's the grief. And so I didn't even realize I was doing it until I kind of eased out of it. And sometimes I think the grief is our blind spot or it creates the giant blind spot for us.
Yeah.
Circling back for 4 seconds. So Adam and I just got married last September, and y'all have been married for a long time. Does that, like, man, I really hope my husband never die thing ever go away? Because it's
not
like,
for me.
It is the most horrifying thing I never knew existed. Yeah. And it's the worst.
Yeah. I do the same thing Jackie does every once in a while. I can't entertain it because I've been married 23 years now, and we are, oddly, we still really like each other. So we are best friends. And occasionally I see a commercial or about a movie. I can't do it. Yeah. I'm like, I feel it in my chest right away. And I'm like, it's going to happen one day, probably. He's older than I am. That's, you know, the odds. Mm-hmm. But
I had to return a book that started with a widower. And I'm like, I can't.
Done.
You know,
I just always hope that it's going to be me first.
Yeah. Right.
But also not, because I also know that I'm more prepared to handle life on my own.
I'm banking that it's me first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, when I got sick in 14, I got diagnosed with a heart condition that I didn't know I had. And when I was in the hospital, my husband's holding my hand. They stopped my heart twice that night. It was like this real traumatic thing. And that's my husband laughed. I said, you know, I was just trying to make it funny. And he was on my, because you could see the worry on his face. Like I essentially died twice that night. And I was like, well, I got to tell you a couple of things. One, if you die first, none of the electronics in the house are ever going to work again. And if I die first, you'll be eating cereal out of a Frisbee and walking around in just underwear, you know?
Shit, right. You know, with the sombrero.
That's right.
So I'm going to dig a should out of the should box, right? And I'm going to invite Jackie Z first to start. And actually, oh my God, how appropriate. You should get a corporate job.
Oh, fuck that.
So I think it's kind of funny that came out. So Jackie just started her own business. You want to talk about it?
Yeah. My business or the corporate job thing?
Yes.
Both. Yes.
So I had a corporate job. I worked for GM for a period of time and I quit because it was soul sucking. And the boys club that it is, I just couldn't handle it. You know, I just knew I wasn't a good fit. Right. I don't fall in line very well. And I don't like authority that like is over authoritative for no reason. And just the like, this is how it's always been done. I don't like that at all. So, once I left there, I was like, I don't think I'll ever do that again. And I haven't. I worked for my nonprofit for a period of time. And then I worked for a smaller company that's not corporate, like healthcare. And now I have my own business and I just don't ever, I don't think I'll ever work in an office again, but especially not corporate America.
What's your gig now?
now I started a company, and the website is queenofgsd.com, and I help women who want to grow their business elevate their online presence.
And GSD stands for?
Getting shit done.
Getting shit done.
I love it.
Jackie number one.
You know,
did you ever have a corporate job?
No, okay. Ever. Not ever. And so my husband is the corporate guy, and I'm watching what he goes through every 6 months. I'm wondering whether he's going to have a job or not.
Yeah.
I always know whether I'm going to have a job or not because I made my own.
Yeah.
And so people talk about that stability in the corporate job. It's like, I don't see it.
There is no. It's a false sense of stability. It absolutely is.
And a false sense of identity.
No doubt, right? When I left my corporate gig, you know, even though my corporate gig was a nonprofit gig, it was as close to corporate as possible. It did. It took a big hit. Like, I was Ursula from United Way for the longest time. And without that, I didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, I had really wrapped a lot of my identity in there. I really had to find myself again outside of my job.
I am the corporate gig.
You are the corporate gig. I carry the corporate gig. Like,
I'm the man.
Yes.
I'm the man.
Yes. I was actually talking to I do still work part-time corporate, and I was talking to a coworker there today and saying, you know, I'm trying to figure out what the next step is. Do I go back to work corporate full-time? Do I go consulting full-time? Do I just really dig into the Shihai full-time? What do I do? And she's like, why would you go back to corporate? She's like, are you just trying to get approval or somebody else to validate you belong there? Is that why you're going to go back, is just to validate that you know. Mm-hmm. You can make it, or, you know, whatever. It's a good question.
Get a neck tattoo. You'll never have to worry about that again.
It's amazing, though, you know, because I work in the IT function with the IT team, and whoa.
It is, but it is, you always want what you can't have. And I remember I read a book by Carrie Brownstein, and she was talking about being in Slater Kinney, you know, the rock band. And she said, you know, I would drive by all these offices in our tour bus, and I'd think, I want that.
Yeah.
And so she left Slater Kinney. She left the band, left this amazing world to have a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And I did the same thing. I worked for, it's now Live Nation, but I worked for it many incarnations ago, and traveled and toured and things like that. And I thought, like, oh my God, just to work in an office would be amazing, because this is 9-to-5. You punch in, you punch out, you know, you don't take it home with you. And I did that for like four years and like 10 months.
Hours.
Yeah. I did it 4 hours with gusto, and then
I was out.
3 years, deuces. 11 months.
No, but I did do almost 5 years.
Yeah.
And it was the most soul sucking thing I've ever done in my life. And I felt literally like a giant gerbil driving that same route to work every day. And I just doing that, I'm just like, put a gun to my head.
The worst part about it is, like you in your example, is when you get, for me, when I got that job, I was like, I made it, right? Like, I have this job. It's so prestigious, right? Like, I earned this job. But what nobody talks about in corporate America is that nobody does anything. Like, I feel like where I worked, I would get all my stuff done by like 10 o'clock. Yeah. And I was like, what are we all doing here? And they're all just wandering around like they're doing shit. And the amount of people who make like six figures who do nothing all the time, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Just walk around with a coffee cup. You're going to have to have those reports ready.
And I just was like, maybe I should stick around here so I can make a boatload of money. That's how I started my nonprofit. I did it on the clock there because I had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
It was bizarre to me.
I mean, everywhere.
Oh, shoot. You know, it really is just about, you know, we've been trained to believe that validation or success is the career, the title and the salary, and that we can, you know, that's what you should want. And maybe you can find it a different way, or actually success might mean something else. I really do value freedom. That's the only thing that's keeping me from going. Freedom and flexibility. And actually reporting to stupid fucking people.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sick of reporting to people that don't know as much as me. So, well, ladies, thank you so, so much for joining us for another episode.
Good times.
Sweaty ball. So for another episode of Life on the Other Side of Should, I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks, Jackie Z, for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thanks.